1 Peter chapter 4 today, and just encourage all of you to follow along with us as we look to God's Word for a few minutes here this morning. It's important for you to stay in the Bible, read the Bible, study it, read it, meditate upon it, and let that minister to your heart and your soul over these days. We all know what it's like to be saturated with bad news, and there's so much of it out there these days, and many times I just choose just to turn to something else better and pay attention to some good news. And so we want to share from 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 7. I believe that the apostle here gives us some insight of what we can do because of these times, how we can respond. We don't respond like the world. Remember, we've always believed, we know God's word teaches that we are to come out from among them and be separate. We're not like the world. We don't live like the world. We don't act like the world. We certainly don't think like the world, and we don't face a crisis like the world faces a crisis. We face it differently. We face it with faith, confidence in God, and a complete trust in God's word. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Because of these times, how that the church and how that Christians are to respond, we respond differently than the world responds in the middle of a crisis. The Apostle Peter here says the end of time is at hand. A lot of people are thinking, is this it? Is this the end of time? Well, I don't know for sure when the Lord is coming. No one really knows, but we do know that when the whole world is in the middle of this crisis, all 7+ billion people that inhabit this planet are faced with the same exact crisis. And it's all happened in just a matter of weeks, so quickly. And everyone's going along. Things are just fine. And as they say, normal. And everything is going along. It seems like normal. And then suddenly, our lives are drastically changed. Everything is different. And so I think as Christians, we recognize certainly the end of times. Now, if Peter, 2,000 years ago, and other of the apostles were talking about the end of times and the coming of Jesus, then we know that we are not just in those last days. We are in the last moments of those last days. We are in the last seconds of those last days. And we need to recognize exactly where we are. At the very least, this is a worldwide awakening to the fact that they thought they were in control. Men have thought they were controlling their lives and their futures, their destinies, but the reality is no one is. God is reminding the world, I'm in control. You're not in control. I'm in control. There are a lot of questions. I know that people are asking about these last days. And the entire world is forced to consider it. Even those that have put God aside. Even those that are saying, God has no part in my life. Or even some that say, God doesn't even exist. Now they're forced to reconsider, what if there might be something to this, the reality that this world is going to come to a close and it's going to come to an end. Christians respond differently because of the times that we're living in right now. We respond in a different way. I do believe that in light of what's going on, it is more than likely the greatest opportunity for the gospel to be promoted all around the world. And I pray that God will help us, help every church that's live streaming to pick up an audience and that begins to expand beyond our own church congregation, that it expands to people out there in our community that are logging on, that it expands to other parts of the country and the world for that matter as an opportunity to spread the gospel about the reality of where we live and that Jesus is coming soon and that we are now forced to listen to the reality that the Lord is coming soon. Praise God. And so what does the apostle say? He says, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. The word just means be serious. I know there's a lot of, you know, memes and jokes and funny things that people are using, I guess, to kind of console themselves and to distract themselves from all the crisis of the time. I'm not saying that it's a bad time, but the overall thing that we must do is we must take this seriously. We must respond to it seriously. And I think that most Christians are, most churches are responding to this seriously. Thank you, brother. And are looking at this situation in a serious light. People are saying, oh, we just pray that things can just get back to normal. But the reality is that normal is that we are moving closer and closer to a secular society, closer and closer to an Antichrist world. That's a spirit that's prevailing today. We're moving in a direction away from God, away from the things of God. God is being removed from government, from education, from almost every institution. God is being removed from that. If that's the normal, I don't want the normal anymore. I think we need a new normal, and that new normal maybe be the result of this crisis. This new normal may be an awakening, causing people to realize truly we need to give attention to God and to the word of the Lord and to the promises of God. I've heard about people in the middle of all this crisis, by the thousands have gone to the beach in Florida when the governors are saying, no, we can't do this. I've heard of nightclubs and bars that have said, we're not going to do this. We're going to have a good time. And they are having to be shut down by authorities because they are ignoring the advice and the warnings of people that are in authority. It reminded me of what was going on just before Noah went into the ark. Just before Noah went into the ark, it says in Luke 17, it says, they did as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. They didn't believe it was going to happen. They didn't believe there was going to be any kind of a judgment. They were making a mockery of Noah. And that old man don't know what he's talking about. And that ark that he's built was a waste of his time and his energy. And what a foolish old man. They ignored him. They mocked him. And all the way up until Noah entered into the ark, They are partying. They're having a big time. They're going on with their life. All the way up until the day that Noah entered into the ark. That's what the Bible says. They drank. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. And so all of those that insist on, we've got to have our spring breaks and we've got to have our good times and our vacations and we've got to have all these things. There's no seriousness. There's no soberness. And I just pray reality would sink into the minds, into the hearts of people that think that things are just going to keep going on like they are. Because we're living in a new world and a new time and a new age. And the commandment of the scripture of the Apostle Peter is, take this seriously. Be sober. Be serious in the middle of all of this situation. He says, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So the first thing is the way Christians respond. We respond to this as a serious circumstance, a serious situation. And then we respond through prayer. We pray, and we pray earnestly. Amen. When I think about being confined, when I think of limitations, people being quarantined or self-quarantined, we are socially, you know, that's just, we are normally social people. God created us that way, and not to be alone, but He's given to us all an opportunity to be quarantined and to be separated. And maybe it's an opportunity. No doubt it is an opportunity for us to learn how to take advantage of this time to spend time with the Lord and to be a people of prayer. I read that the average evangelical Christian prays 6 hours a year. 6 hours a year. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. But if it's anywhere near close, that probably only covers the prayer over their meals. It might include a prayer before they go to bed. But it's not much praying that's going on in the evangelical church world today. But this is the most important thing that we can take from this time, is to call upon the name of the Lord and to pray earnestly, to pray fervently, and to call upon the name of the Lord. You know, Peter was one of those three, Peter, James, and John, that went to the garden with Jesus, and Jesus said, tarry here with me and pray. And then he went on. This was a crisis time. Jesus said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. Even unto death, tarry ye here and watch with me. That's what he commanded the disciples to do. Peter was one of those. Maybe he's remembering that experience that he had with the Lord, because they all were tired and they all just went to sleep. And Jesus is in his crisis hour. How many people, how many Christians, how many churches are just sleeping during the crisis hour and not even considering the seriousness of the hour that we're in? The Bible says that he comes back to his disciples, verse 40 of Matthew 26, and it says, he finds them asleep and saith unto them, Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Just 1 hour. Could you not pray with me during this great crisis time that I'm in? But yet they fell asleep. We need to pray earnestly. I think we all recognize this is an area that we must not fail in. The church must go to prayer. The church must call upon the Lord. You can do that at home. You can do that in your private room or enter into your closet and pray. You can pray. There's always a time and a place for prayer, even in your home. And then we must do this as an expression of our absolute dependence upon God. People that pray, they are expressing their dependence upon God. You depend upon God and you'll pray. If you depend on yourself, you won't pray. But if you depend upon the Lord, you will be serious about prayer. And so the church needs to be reminded of our opportunity to call upon the Lord and once again go to prayer, seriously seek the Lord and call upon the Lord. Jesus said, watch unto prayer, or Peter said, watch unto prayer. Maybe remembering when he fell asleep in Jesus Christ's hour. And now he's warning the church, don't go to sleep in the middle of the crisis. Don't go to sleep in this time of crisis. So be serious and to be prayerful, to be prayerful. This is the counsel of the Apostle Peter concerning the last days. And it's good advice for you and I who are living in this particular crisis time right now. And then in verse 8 he says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourself. Now, when God says above all things, that's what he means. He means make this the priority. Make us a priority that you are a person of real, genuine love. You really do care. Make love, make charity, make love the a priority of your life. You know that John said, John's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 35, it says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. Amen. So among the body of Christ, we should be concerned about one another. And I just want to encourage you that are watching this service. Many of you are a part of the church here at First Pentecostal Church. I want to challenge you to every day, certainly pray for your church family, but also make contacts. As a matter of fact, determine you're going to make at least three contacts with church families or church people every day. You're going to make a phone call or you're going to send them a text. You're going to communicate with somebody and let them know, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. I know this is a challenging time, and let's stick together. That's what the scripture says. Make this a priority. Love one another, and the whole world will see your love, and they'll know. Those folks are really children of God. They're really disciples. He uses the word fervent in this verse to describe the love. It says, above all things, have fervent charity. It's interesting. That's a Greek word that's used describing someone that's running a race and they're stretching forth for the finish line. They're reaching, trying to stretch themselves. I'm telling you, what's happening right now in our world is stretching us, isn't it? It's really stretching us. We're having to look for creative ways to do ministry. Or having to look to different challenging situations that are around us and stretch ourselves to minister to people, to love people. So he says, have fervent love. Stretch yourself. Look for ways to bless people, to serve people. Look for new ways to show the love of God to people, not only in the body of Christ, but all around you as God gives you opportunity to show love to this world. Now, there's a whole lot of greed that's going on out there as well. And a lot of the reasons why that the shelves are empty, I understand people are fearful. But when people go in and buy thousands of dollars worth of food and buy up things and others are not able to get things, then we're starting moving toward the greed, selfishness and self-preservation. That's not the church. That's not Christians. We're concerned about others. And we want to make sure that they have what they need. And we'll even give of what we have to help someone else. I talked to a friend yesterday and just was checking on them. I know that they live alone, asking if they needed anything. And he said, well, actually, I've got food in my house for probably about 7 or 8 weeks. I said, well, I'm calling to check on you. I may be coming to eat with you in the next few weeks if you got that much food in your house. But the Christian has love, and it's expressed and the world sees it. John chapter 15 in verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That is how fervent love, fervent charity is expressed in the world and in the middle of a crisis time. Above all things, make this the priority, that you show love, you demonstrate love. It says this charity can cover a multitude of sins. Now, that doesn't mean that good deeds cover up sins. It just means that the emphasis of ministering and loving people and touching people's lives becomes such a priority that the things, other things that are in their lives, it's not that God overlooks it, but you serve them no matter what they are, no matter how they're living, no matter what mess that they might be in their life. You do what you can to bless them and to serve them. Then verse 9, he says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. It all kind of builds on the other. You love and then you practice hospitality. And that just means you serve as others. That's really the essence of ministry, isn't it? Ministry is not just preaching from the pulpit. That's really pretty much a small part of ministry. Ministry is when the whole body of Christ realizes we've got a responsibility to touch people, to minister to people that are in need. And so the word there, hospitality, it comes from a word describing serving or ministering to strangers or even aliens, that you minister and reach out to those that you don't know, strangers. Now, you might want to take care of your own. Sure, everybody wants to do that. But think about some that may be in need and especially need to hear the message of the gospel and the love of God. They need to hear it from you. And so practice hospitality and look for ways that you can serve others. That's what ministry is about. Ministry is not about self-preservation. Ministry is about others. What I can do to demonstrate Jesus Christ. He laid down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for the entire world. And he certainly didn't have to do that. It says, do it without grudging. Do it not because you feel pressured or forced to do it, but because you have a heart and a compassion for people that are in need. Now, this is the way the church responds in a crisis hour. Because of these times, we respond to the seriousness of the situation. We respond in love and in compassion. We respond in hospitality. We respond through prayer and seriously ministering to people in their need. The wonderful thing about this text is it goes on to describe that every one of us has something we can do. Everybody does. Verse 8. And above all things have, or I'm sorry, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we need to remember that we all have gifts. We all have different abilities that God has given to us. And some that can do things with their hands, some can do things, some are teachers, some have, there's all kinds of different gifts and abilities that we each have, and we need to use that gift. It describes these individual gifts, it describes this way, that we are good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We're stewards of the grace of God. The word manifold there is kind of an interesting word. It means many-colored. That's really a wonderful description of the church, isn't it?
Right.
That the church is many-colored. It's manifold grace of God. Many different kinds of gifts. Many different types of blessings. And everyone uses their gift. The church is a many-colored, wonderful body that is able to touch many people and meet many needs. Because we have compassion. Everyone has a gift or gifts, and we are to use those gifts to be a blessing to others. That's the way the body of Christ works. That's the way the body of Christ responds to crisis. So because of the times, we use our gifts to demonstrate the goodness of God. We use our gifts to minister to others. And your gift may not be obvious. It may not be noticeable. It may be done behind the scenes. And that's okay. But just use your gift. As a matter of fact, no one may not actually know what you are doing, what you have done. Use your gift. God takes notice. He knows everything that you do. And so use your gifts for others. And make sure, the scripture says here, that it glorifies God. You're not doing it for self-recognition. You're doing it to glorify God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it all as of the ability which God giveth. Whatever it is, if you're a teacher, if you're a preacher, or whatever capacity, or whatever way that you are able to minister, do it. Even a phone call, even reaching out to somebody, asking them if they have any needs, if you can pray with them about, just letting them know that you care about them and that you want to minister to them. We all have a gift, and when we function as that many-colored body of Christ, then God is glorified. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Now, for God to be glorified, it just really just means that God receives the credit. He receives the glory. And too much in our world today, God is forgotten. He's forsaken. People don't even acknowledge the fact that the next breath we take, it comes from God. If you have another day in your life, it's because God has gifted you with another day in your life. And you are blessed of God. And so through all of this, somehow, as we glorify God through what we do and how we serve and how we love and how we pray and how we minister to people, that many-colored body of Christ reaching as many people as we can for the glory of God. Amen. That we do it. And He receives the glory. He receives the honor. He's honored. He's recognized. And that is our prayer today, is that we respond. Because of these times, the church responds in a different way than the world responds. Amen. Let's pray together as we close out this service today. If you're watching today and you're feeling concern, worry, fear, whatever you're going through, right now, would you just call upon the Lord with us? Let's pray together right now. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of knowing you. Oh, Lord, in the middle of all of this great time of crisis, our hope and our trust is in you. I pray for those, Lord, that right this very moment they are in need. They may be physically sick or some family member sick. And we pray, Lord, that you'd minister to them. Some are going through great times of anxiety and fear. I pray, Lord, that the comfort of your Holy Spirit would just settle in upon their hearts. Lord, remind them that you're with them today in the midst of this time. Oh, God, we thank you for that. And I just pray, Lord, for the church, the body of Christ worldwide, this many-colored body, Lord, that we would all would use our gifts, our talents, the grace of God that you've given to us, Lord, to share and to bless and to minister to so many around us that are in need. Lord, during this time, may the church really be the church. May we really stand up and become that wonderful body of Christ that you have called us to be. I pray, Lord, if there's even one now that's watching this live stream, pray, Lord, if there's even one that's not serving you, they're not saved, that they would turn to you and be saved. Call upon the Lord, repent of their sins, and believe, Lord, in you as their Savior. Save the lost, Lord, in the middle of this great crisis, we pray. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, praise God.